Good morning. Good to see you. Beautiful day. Snow is always nice in July. Appreciate it. Appreciate the snow coming down. I said that just to see if you were awake. In your Bibles, let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. By the way, I do want to encourage you about something, and that's this. The first hour here, this is the second hour, the first hour here this morning, if you can get here, by all means do so. It's such an encouragement. I heard the guys speaking, and we're sitting around in a circle, and the guys and gals, and some of the statements that were made were so good. In prayer, what I did was, as I heard these different testimonies, I said, well, that's been so good, Lord. I said, I'm ready to go home now. And then I thought, I can't go home. I have to preach. So, but it was so good. You need to be here the first hour. I think it'll do you well. Yeah, do you well to hear different people speak into your life. It's not about one person. Different people speaking into your life. It's amazing. And you could be help to someone else here. You'd be surprised. You say, what can I say? You can say something that maybe you've gone through this week that someone needs to hear. Maybe they've gone through the same thing. So think about that. The first hour when you come here, I think it'll be a great benefit to you. Chapter 4, verse number 8a. The first part of verse 8. Listen to the verse. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What a remarkable verse. I remember my father, when he would eat like pork chops or steak, he would bite down right to the bone of the steak or the pork chop. Do you guys do that? Anybody here? Yeah. There's something about that for a guy, right? There's in the summertime to grab something off the grill, a dead squirrel or something, but dig right down into the... And that's why I was going to go further this morning, but I thought, no, I'm just going to linger on this one verse, kind of dig into it, ask questions about it. Hopefully you'll walk away saying, I got something of the word today that's going to help me this week. Okay, once again, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, I want to mention a few things before we get into our outline this morning. If we can get into that next slide there, Rick, thanks. You'll note a few things about the book of James. Let me just give you some overview real quick here on the book of James. First of all, the difficult situations that the people were in, you need to understand something of those difficult situations if you're going to understand any part of the book of James. In other words, I want to make sure you understand this. The text of James talks about, first of all, the difficulties that they were going through. And then when James talks about particular other things, you have to remember he was talking about those things in relationship to the difficulties. Does that make sense? So look at chapter 1. I just want to read the four verses. The four verses read, James, a bondservant or a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, greetings. And then he makes, first of all, they're dispersed. This is something of that first thing on the screen here. They're difficult. Can you imagine, think with me this morning a little bit. You pack up everything that you can carry in your living room, your bedroom, perhaps your pillows. I don't think you can walk with your bed, but your pillows, maybe go to your closet to pick one or two things up. And then you're pushed into another land. Now, how about that? How would you like to have that for a week's activity? Think about it. Just packing up your stuff. Don't even know where you're heading. Being persecuted. People chasing you down. And you're pushed from one place to another. Now, it's in that setting that James writes verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy. Are you kidding me? I mean, really? What kind of a masochist is James here? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect or mature results, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. So what he's saying here in the beginning, I think, is very important for us to understand chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. But he's saying draw near to God to people who are being pushed and pressured, and they're leaving their materialism. So think about that in relationship to that. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, that's the first thing on difficulty. The second thing, there are 108 verses in James, and there are 54 imperatives. Now, that to me is very interesting. If you had him for a friend, you would probably see James as someone always bossing you around. Just think about it. God uses different personality types. I'm always amazed when I think about that in relationship to Scripture. An imperative is a command. So think about this. 108 verses, 54 commands. That's one imperative for every two verses. So this guy's really in a command mode. He likes telling people what to do and where to go and how to do things. So you remember that when you're looking at James. Now, why does he say that? Well, he commands them. Once again, in light of chapter 1, these people need some direction. I mean, they're going in different places. They don't even know where they're going. So they need someone to give them the direction. And James does that with his imperatives. Do this, do this. You'll note also something about James on that second point. He doesn't really linger on a topic very long. He's very brief, right to the point. He says this, then he moves to another. He's not like Paul, who's really systematic, and he dissects a thought and he brings it down, A, B, C, D. He's not really like Paul. He's different than Paul in that. He's very quick in this letter to the people that he's writing. Okay, you've got those two points. Now, this is the last one here, the topics in James, and there are a lot of topics. Let me just give you a few. The first one would be perseverance, chapter 1. Showing favoritism, that's also found. Prayer is a major topic. True faith that works, and I also have here, true faith will work. And that's true. If you have true faith, you will work. Someone says, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to do anything. Are you sure you're a Christian? Because true faith in Christ, you will work. And then there's the subject of our speech, chapter 3, divine and demonic wisdom, submission to God in chapter 4 and into 5. Okay, those are some of the highlights of the book of James. So I've gone through that really quickly, just in case you want to read James sometime this week. Let's go to our next slide here, because I want you to see our outline here this morning. This is where we're going. I've got 3 points for us this morning. I had 4 up until this morning. I've been working on the message all week, and I thought, well, I'm going to eliminate one because of time. So I'm just going to have 3 this morning. So the first one, what we want to do is we want to find out what the meaning of this idea of drawing near means. What does that mean, drawing near? And in our context here, drawing near to God. What does that mean? The second thing that we're going to look at is, why should we draw near to God? It's a good question. Why should you do it? I mean, you guys, listen, here's the thing. You ready? You guys have things to do all week long, right? I mean, you've got work to do. You've got your family to deal with. The teens got to put up with their parents, right? Right, you guys? Yeah, you got to put up with your parents. Parents have to put up with you. That's right. I mean, you got a lot going on. You got a lot going on. So here's the deal. Why should I do this? Why should I draw near to God? We're going to look at that in a second. The third is this. What are a few practical ways we can draw near to God? So I'm going to give you actually 5. I'll be brief. 5 things that will help you this week to draw near to God. And that's what you guys need, right? That's what I need. I mean, if this is true, if God exists. And by the way, I should say this in the start here. James starts with the premise that God exists. That's his premise. Because it would be ridiculous to say draw near to God if God doesn't exist. Right? So his assumption is, his premise is that God actually exists. And so since he believes that God actually exists, he says, draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Okay, we have that? We have that down? Okay, let's go to our first point then. What's the meaning of these words here? And essentially, on this next slide there, Rick, essentially what we have on drawing near, the words itself especially mean approaching or coming close to. You can look these up if you have Blue Letter Bible. Anyone here have Blue Letter Bible? You can look at the Hebrew and Greek words here on this word, draw near. But essentially what it means is to approach or come close to. So in our context here, approaching God, coming close to him. Now the problem here is, isn't God everywhere at one time? Yes, he is. Well then, we should all be there then approaching God. It's like this. Let me see if I can give you an illustration. It's like Larry's way back there in the back. Now he's in the room, but we may not be close to him. Does that make sense? He's in the room. It's the same with the Lord. The Lord is here. The Lord, this is a remarkable thing if you think about it. If you sit under a tree and think about this, that God is omnipresent. Wherever you go this week, he's omnipresent. He's there. But the question is, are you close to him? Am I close to him? Larry's in the room, but are we close to him? You see? Are we close to him? And that's what he's dealing with here in James. God exists. He's in the room, but are you close to him? Let's take another illustration. You go to a frontier field to watch a baseball game, right? And you sit next to 5,000 people. The 5,000 people are there, but are you close to them? Not really. They're there, right? But you're not close to them. In fact, you're probably only close to a few people relationally. You don't know all those people out there. And I love what Jesus said in John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life. I love this definition of eternal life that Jesus gives his followers in John 17, 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you've sent. The knowledge here is experiential. So I'm going to be talking to you this morning about this experiential relationship with God. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. A person who is a convert of Jesus knows God experientially. Does that make sense? If you're a convert of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know him experientially. Now, once again, if God does not exist, and you go around telling people, I know God experientially, that's really a problem, isn't it? Right? It'd be like somebody coming up to you and saying, or you going up to someone saying, you know, I had a real good talk with Abraham Lincoln this morning. You spoke to Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. Now, see, the secularist looks at us and says, you know, you people are really weird. You people actually believe that you have an experiential relationship with God and he doesn't even exist. Secular teachers will tell you that, right? If you sit under secular teachers, you teenagers. How many of you guys in college? Going to college or going to college? How many of you guys going to college? Okay, listen, I'm going to warn you here. You get into a secular classroom, the teacher's going to mock you because you believe that you can have an experiential relationship with God. In fact, they may even mock you just because you say you're a theist. You believe that God exists, okay? But James, he doesn't do that. He starts off with that premise. So I want you to look at a few biblical texts with me that speak about this matter of drawing near to God. There's a number of them. I've chosen three. Let's go to Psalm 73. Turn with me to Psalm 73. I want you to see this psalm. Look at verse 28. Here's the verse. I'm reading from the New American Standard. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. You have that underlined? The closer you are in relationship to the Lord, it's for your good, not your harm, not your hurt. It doesn't make you miserable if you get close to God. Have any of you ever been tempted this way? If I get close to the Lord, I'm going to be like so-and-so who's miserable because they're close to the Lord. Anyone ever been tempted in that besides me? When I first became a Christian, it seemed like I was tempted to look at people who were miserable and they attended church somewhere, right? And it was like the temptation was, if you read your Bible, you're going to end up like that person. See that miserable woman? Even though I'm not a woman, that's a good thought for you to understand. You see? You're going to end up like that woman. You're going to end up like that man. You see him? That teenager. See how miserable. They claim to be Christians. Look how miserable they are. See, if you get close to the Lord, that's going to happen to you. You're going to turn into a miserable creature. Yeah. You see, that's not the psalm writer's idea here in the passage. Look at the passage again. Verse 28. But as for me, the nearness of God is for my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. God is good, so I'm going to tell somebody about it. He's my refuge. I'm going to share it. Okay, another portion of scripture. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29. And I want us to look at just one verse, verse 13. Here, once again, this word or these words draw near. Verse 13, Isaiah 29. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Okay, what is Isaiah saying here? He's talking about this matter. These people, in this religious context here, they drew near God, to the Lord, but it was all words. It was no experience. Perhaps like a few of you this morning in here. Well, I got to go to church, and then I'll go through it. I'll stand up, I'll sing, I'll sit down, and then I'll go home and eat dinner. And then it's all form. It's all rote. And Isaiah said, these people, that's how they approach me. It's just formalism and ritualism. There's no life to it. There's no experience in it. You know what I'm saying? And there's maybe a few of you like that here this morning. And my heart goes out to you if you were like that, because that's the way I was before I was converted to Christ. It's all make-believe, you know? You know what I'm saying? Anybody here understand what I'm saying? Just words. And Isaiah gets on the people for that. He says, these people, that's the way they act. They just draw with their words. They try to come close with their words, but their heart is not there. Let's go to one last portion for our time, and that's Luke chapter 15. I want you to see in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I want you to get this idea of what drawing near means, approaching God or coming close to him. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Luke 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, the point I want you to see here is that the Lord allows people who are cheaters, like these tax collectors in this cultural context, and the sinners, these people who are rebels against God, they were coming near to Jesus. That's near him. You see it here in the passage? They were coming. So, listen, if you're a cheat this morning, have you been cheating this morning? Listen. If you're a sinner, you're a rebel against God, here's the invitation. Jesus is welcoming you to come to him. You say, he saves people like you and me. He saves the cheaters. He saves people who are rebels in their hearts against God. That's who he saves. And the Pharisees couldn't get it. You see, they got upset. They grumbled. I never seen the Pharisees smile. Of course, I never see anyone smile in the text, but anyone, because I can't see their faces, but they began to grumble. The Pharisees always grumble about something. And they were grumbling because Jesus welcomed these sinful people. See, they were satisfied in their religion, and they didn't understand this experiential, come near to God position. And Jesus was welcoming the sinners and the cheaters to himself. And the religious leadership said, that's not good. He even eats with these people. He even eats with cheaters. He even eats with the rebels. And the Pharisees would say, not me. I'm not one of those people. I'm not. I go to synagogue.
muted it.
Oh, I muted it. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's what I get for playing on these things. Thanks, Larry. So I start over, go over the, no. Yeah, torture test for you people. Okay, we all right? Larry, coming through. Thanks for interrupting. That's no problem. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Why should we draw near to God? That's our second point. And the first one is because it's an imperative. It's a command. So think about this in relationship to chapter 1, the difficulties in which they were going through. God commands you to seek him even when you go through trouble. Now that's not normal for us, because when we go into trouble, what do we want to do? We want to flee and get away. Isn't that right? I mean, am I the only one here like that? If trouble comes, and the Lord say, no, when trouble comes, I want you to come near me when trouble comes. So you had a bad week this week? Go to the Lord. Go approach him. Don't be stubborn. And don't say, well, trouble's here. I'm not going to talk to the Lord. I got too many things going on anyway. I don't have time for this stuff. I was watching a TV program a few days ago where this big bird in Africa with little birds, little chicks right next to her. And the hyenas were watching for the little chicks. And it was so beautiful to see this mama bird, big bird with a lot of feathers, go like this with the little chicks. Like that. Didn't make that sound, but the little birds were hiding right under the hyenas that know what to do. Big bird. Protecting the little birds. Listen to what the psalm writer says in Psalm 94, verse 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You see, when you go through troubles during the week, when I go through troubles during the week, right? You got difficulty at work, difficulty with your kids, your grandkids, difficulty. Anybody having problems with their wife, husband, anybody here besides me? My wife has to live with me. I would like to be living with somebody all the time, preaching through the house, screaming, preaching all the time. I feel bad for wives. Don't you guys? Don't you wives feel bad for yourself? You're married to us men. It's a tough thing. Yeah. Look at the teenage girl saying, yeah. Yeah, you come to him, you see? You come to him. It's like that big bird. What's the shelter you in the storm? There's the hyenas coming after you this week. Right? You go to him. You go hide. You go hide there. So the first one is, it's a command. For your own good, once again, it's a command. The second is this. Because we are to live differently than other people. The reason why you are commanded to run to God is because you're different than the non-believer. Let me ask you, at work, did anyone come up to you that's not a believer? Anyone come up to you this week and say, hey, did you enjoy Ephesians this week or not? Any non-Christian ever say that to you this week? Any student here? It's a you've had non-Christian friends, right? They come up to you and say, hey, did you like Romans this week? Did you read Romans this week? Wasn't it a great text? Any non-Christian go up to you like that? Have you read John's Gospel? Non-Christian go up to you? No, see, they don't understand. You understand because God has opened your eyes to understanding. The second point is because we should live differently then. And James develops this in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I'll just read it. Look at verse 1. What's the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now catch this in relationship to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here are these people being driven out of their homes. Catch this now. You listening? Catch this. They're being driven out of their homes. And no doubt some of them were fighting and quarreling, right? You can imagine that, right? You can imagine why they'd be fighting. And hey, that's my blanket. What are you doing taking my blanket? That's my pillow. You took my pillow. Why did you take my pillow? And James says, you know, you just lust and you want to have, and you don't have because you don't ask. You ask, you don't receive. What a testing time for these people, because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own lust. You adulterers, and you do not know that the friendship of the world is hostility to God. That's the way the world lives, their philosophy. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, that's the way the world lives, right? Come on now. They want, always grabbing for something, never satisfied. What's the next thing I can get? And James says, the reason why you should draw near to God is because you don't want to be like them. You want to be different. And then the third reason that I have up here for us in its context is because we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. Look at the verse once again. The reason why you should draw close to God is because he will draw close to you. Now, just think about this for a moment. If God actually exists, wouldn't you like to have him close to you? I mean, you think about it. Think about it. Right? I mean, if he actually is there, wouldn't you like to have him get close to you in the mix of chapter one, all the difficulties that you go through? I want that. I don't know about you. Anybody here besides me? You want that? See, I think you people here at Crossroads, hopefully you're saying to yourself, yeah, that's what I want. I mean, if God really exists and he actually does draw close to people, that's what I want. I want him to draw close to me because I need God. I need God to draw close to me. Difficult out in the world, isn't it? Yeah, I need God to draw close to me. Well, how does God execute that particular matter? Yeah, read something by J.I. Packer, one of my favorite books, Knowing God. Have you read Knowing God? Anybody here? No? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Good. Just want to read something to you from page in his last few chapters. This chapter called These Inward Trials. Listen to this. How does God get people to draw close to him? Now listen, see if you can identify with this. Ready? How does God in grace prosecute this purpose? Not by shielding us from the assault of the world, the flesh, and the devil, nor by protecting us from the burdensome and frustrating circumstances, nor yet by shielding us from troubles created by our own temperament and psychology, but rather by exposing us to all these things so as to overwhelm us with a sense of our own inadequacy. Do you hear what he's saying? He allows you to go down this road where you get to the point and say, where you say, I can't do this. Right? You been there? I was there a few times this week. I went, I don't know how to do this, Lord. So I'm forced then to draw to him and say, Lord, I need your help. Now, why would God, though, as Packer says, prosecute this purpose? Is he sadistic? Does he want to make you feel pain? Is that what it is? No. He wants you to have joy. And the way we get joy is when we go through the trouble and run to him, then he gives us joy by running to him. Do you understand that? But what we do is we have trouble and we run somewhere else. And we eliminate the joy that God wants to give us in the mix of the trouble. You see that? It's like in James chapter 1 again. Listen, dear people. James chapter 1, James talks about it's joy. Well, what's joy? It's not the problems are joy. It's what's going to come from the problems as you're seeking God. Does that make sense? Am I going too fast this morning? So you see, God brings this about by allowing us to have problems. And these problems drive us to him. And then as we're there with him, he gives us joy. What a way to go about it. I'd like this way better. Wouldn't you like this way better? Why don't I just put in my request? I need some joy. That's it. Right? No, what we do is we have to go through the problems. We go out to God, and then he gives us joy as we go to him. The problems still may exist, but we have joy in running to Christ. Does that make sense to anybody? And yet we fight that, don't we? Ah, we fight it. Okay, ready for point three? Okay, here's point three. I want to give you some practical ways then how we can draw near to God. You ready for these? I'm going to give you five. See if you can take these. The first one is this. This week, when you leave here, when I leave here, I would encourage you and challenge you to get quiet before the Lord with the scriptures. It is amazing to me when I do family counseling. One of the questions I ask often, talk to me about your quiet time in the Word. And so many people don't spend time in Scripture, and they want me to do something for them. What can I do? I mean, if God has given us solutions and you're not going to God, who am I? I'm just this little Italian guy walking around. You know, how can I possibly do anything? You've got to spend time alone with the Lord. I don't know how else to say it. You have to get quiet before Him. You have to make this a priority in your life. Let me read to you Tozer. You like reading A.W. Tozer? He's one of my. Anybody here like Tozer? Nobody here like Tozer? Few people like Tozer. Listen to this. I may have read this to you before. This is definitely not the hour when women take kindly to the exhortation to listen. For listening is not today a part of popular religion. We are at the opposite end of the pole from there. Religion has accepted the monstrous heresy that noise, size, activity, and bluster make a person dear to God. But we must take heart. Be still and know that I am God is the cure for much of our frustrations in life. And I know you're busy, and I'm busy, and you're busy. We're all busy, right? But you've got to take time in Scripture. You've got to get alone and think about it, how it fits your situation. Let me give you a suggestion on how to do that. This is still point one here, but take a book like Ephesians or Colossians and say, for the next 30 days, when August starts, I'm going to read Colossians or Ephesians every day. I'm just going to read it. Maybe it's chapter one today, and then when I'm done reading the six chapters of Ephesians or four in Colossians, I'm going to start right back over. I still have 15 days left. I want this book to be my book. You know? I want it to be my book. For 30 days, I want it to be my book. I want God to mature me through this book. I want God to deal with me in my relationship with my wife or my husband through this book. I want God to give me wisdom as a parent to deal with my teenagers. Teenagers! I need wisdom from God to deal with my parents because I don't know how to deal with them. So Lord, teach me. I need to be taught by you how to deal with my parents. I don't know how to deal with them, Lord. Teach me as I read Ephesians. You see what I'm saying? So the first thing I'm saying is get alone quiet. Quiet before the Lord. Listen, meditate on Scripture. Not just read it. Think it over. Think it over. Think it over. The second thing, get rid of the garbage in your life. Get rid of the garbage in your life. Give you an illustration. You want to draw near to God? Get rid of the garbage. I invite you over to our home for a cookout. Everybody coming today? We're going to have hamburgers, hot dogs. We're going to have chicken thighs. You like chicken thighs on the grill? Love those things. Chicken thigh, people? Good. Chicken thigh. And I might even throw some steaks on there. Teenager steaks? Right? Yeah, steaks. Before we eat, though, I say to you, I have some garbage pails out here. And they're filled with garbage from the last week. And I want you to come out with me, and we're going to eat all those crusty pieces of bread, those rotten tomatoes, those rotten bananas. And then when we're all done eating all this stuff in that garbage pail, then we're going to come and sit down, and we're going to enjoy chicken thighs and steak and hamburgers and hot dogs. You know what? If you eat the garbage pails and then you come to the meal, you know what's going to happen? You're going to, I'm not hungry. Listen, some of you have been into garbage all week. And then you come to Scripture and you go, I can't get anything out of this. I can't enjoy this steak, these chicken wings. I've been eating out of the garbage all week. And now, you see what I'm saying? Make sense? I've been watching pornography all week and I can't understand why my Bible... I've been hanging around people all week that are just terrible, and I've been acting like them, and then I come to my Bible. You see what I'm talking about? You got to get rid of the garbage pails there, people. There was a day in America where preachers would preach this hot and heavy. You got to separate yourself from this world system. Today, we're just like them. We're just like the world. We're just like them. The only difference is we go to church and they don't. But how do we live any different than they live? The television that you people watch, is it any different than the pagans next door? Do they watch the same stuff? Do you watch the same stuff that they watch? Do you ever complain about what's on TV? Do you ever write anybody? You just put up with the garbage pails in your house? You know what I'm saying? You teenagers, I'm so glad you're here. Do you eat out of the garbage pails all week? Huh? And then you wonder why you can't get anything out of the Bible. Give me a third one. Practice praise and thanksgiving. You want to draw near to God? I want to tell you something. The Bible's replete with this whole matter of giving God praise and thanks. Some of you need to stop complaining and start praising God. You complain all the time, from the morning you get up to the time you go to bed. Complain, complain, complain. All day long you complain. How about you doing this? I gave a couple an assignment about this the other day. And I gave it to my wife and myself too. The assignment is this. Take a sheet of paper. Every time you complain during the day, put a little check mark next to the complaint column. And every time you give thanks and praise, put a little check mark next to that. You'd be surprised how much complaining we do as Christians in America. We got so much stuff. And we complain about the stuff that we have. Right? So what do? We go out and buy more stuff. And then we complain about that stuff. How ridiculous are we? Right? You start to think about it. How ridiculous. You think about it. How ridiculous are we as people? We complain about the stuff that we want. And then we get upset with the stuff that we have. And then we go buy more stuff. Practice praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to show you how to do that. You ready? You go in your house and you do this. What can I see here that I can give God praise for? I'll give you a quick illustration. I'm in my room where I have my quiet time, and I'll often look at the walls and I'll see pictures of flowers or pictures of one thing or another, and I'll see vases, and I'll praise God for those things that I see. I go for a walk and jog. This week I was jogging, and as I was jogging, I'm praising God. By the way, my 14-year-old son is going to challenge me in a 40-yard sprint probably this afternoon or tomorrow. Do you think I can beat that rascal? He's much taller. He's like this. You think I can beat him? Oh, I can't wait. We're going to have 40-yard sprint. I practiced yesterday. I did three 40s, and I had the time down. And I already timed him last week, so I'm going to get him. I am beating that guy. I don't care. I don't care how old he is. I'm going to beat him. He's 14, and I'm going to really put it to him today or tomorrow. Yeah. And you know what? I put that on Facebook, and my friends on Facebook, they were so derogatory. You're too old. You can't beat him. I mean, it was discouraging. I only had about two or three people that really, really tried to encourage me about beating my 4, and the rest of them, you're too old. Be careful you don't get hurt. Make sure you don't break your ankle or something. The gifts of exhortation people have in our day. It was a disgrace, really. I wanted to tell them all off. It was awful, really. I'm not kidding you. It was awful. Yet, how about some praise and thanksgiving from some of you complainers, huh? Can you imagine, sir, if you'd stop coming in the house and just praising God for a few minutes? How about that? The wives would probably enjoy that, I would think. And you wives praising God through the day. You teenagers, can you imagine if your parents heard you say, praise Jesus? Can you imagine that? What would happen? Praise the Lord. Imagine if the parents heard the kids say, praise the Lord. What would happen? Wow, what a great time that would be in your house. Okay, number three. I'll give you two more. This other one. I bypassed A. Admit where you are. 0 to 10, I'll be real quick here. 0 to 10, where are you in your relationship with the Lord right now? And I know it fluctuates. Someday I may be a 3. Someday I may be a 7. But this morning, where are you right now? Be honest with the Lord and tell him that. Lord, I'm at a 3 right now. I want to draw near to you. Your word is a promise. Your word promises me that you're going to draw close to me. Admit where you are right now. Okay, does that make sense? Tell the Lord where you're at. I know he knows. He wants you to tell him because he needs you to confess up where you've been. The last thing I want to share with you is this. Share with others what you know and what you're learning about the Lord. I'm so glad that you're going to get into evangelism, Bill and Steve. That's great. It's a great thing. Share with other people what you know. This is a great way for you to sense God's presence. Have you found that so? I've mentioned this to you before. If every Christian here in this church and every Christian in every evangelical church in America shared something about the gospel this week, just one person, you don't have to tell 30, just one person, I wonder what it would do for our country. Just one person. You don't have to tell 30. You say, I don't know how to do it. Ask the Lord to give you opportunities. Do you have to go to Bible college, seminary for this? No. Just say, Lord, open up doors for somebody to be next to me where you'll just swing the doors open to me and I can talk to them about maybe reading John's gospel. Maybe that's all you want me to tell them. Read John's gospel. Imagine if every Christian did that once a week. What would happen in America? But here's what happens to us, and I close with this illustration. It's another food illustration. And the food illustration is essentially this. We're going to Red Robin after. And then we're going to go to Applebee's. And then we're going to Kentucky Chicken. And then we're going to Olive Garden with the breadsticks. And then we're going to go someplace to have pie and ice cream. What would you do if you went to all those places? I'll tell you, when you got home, you know what you'd want to do? You'd want to sleep. And that's where the church is today. American Christians are asleep. We eat every Sunday. We listen to TV. We have CDs. We have books. I've got so many books in my library. Like Chuck was saying, I got to get rid of them. There's no more room. I got to get rid of them. We've got so many CDs, DVDs, messages. Right now, media, which is a great resource. You need to tap into that. But if we just listen and listen and listen, you know what's going to happen? We are going to get bigger and sleepier, and we're going to feel like I just want to sit on the couch and do nothing. You know what I did this week with our teens? With our grandkids, our teens, I said this to them. You can come over to my house and play on the computer and the cell phone, but I want to tell you something. If you spend a half an hour on the cell phone and computer, you will exercise a half hour. If you spend an hour on the computer and an hour on your cell phone, you are going to exercise for an hour. How do you like that? Well, they may not like it, but that's what they're going to do. And I've already tested them this week, and that's what they've done. Coming over, grandfather, coming over, 1 hour on the computer, you're out in the backyard running. You're doing sprints. You're doing something. You're not sitting around all day. Now, I say that to you with this thing here. If you sit around and just listen to church services all your life, you're going to feel lethargic. You need, dear people, listen, teenagers included, you need to share the gospel with somebody. It'll fire your soul. It will.
Have you found that to be the case? I have found that. So you share the gospel with someone. You share it. Read John's gospel. It'll fire your soul. And some of you have been you've been so asleep for such a long time, you don't even know what it is to be fired up for Christ. You've been sleeping so long. Share the gospel. Huh? Share the Bible with somebody. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these dear people, Lord, that come and listen to the word. I pray for these dear people, Lord, and for myself, Lord. Thank you for saving a number of us. Father, I pray that you would help us to draw near to you this week in the mix of all our problems. And may we actually experience, Lord, you drawing close to us. In Jesus' name, amen.